night. Amen. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Proverbs chapter number 1 says, in verse number 20, it said, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. And in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Wisdom crieth without, and she uttereth her voice in the streets. My subject tonight, if the Lord will help me, I want to preach from verse number 6 of chapter number 25 of the book of Matthew. "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." I want to preach on a midnight cry. A cry at midnight. A cry at midnight. Midnight, one writer made the statement, he said, midnight is that night, the point of the edge of night, where it's more darker than it's ever been. The sun is so long away from rising. The evening shadows of the day have done past, and they are all gone. Midnight is that night that makes men feel that they are afraid. There's not one individual in this building tonight. Though your body may be strong, and though you may be able to stand up and have the physique of just strength being looked at, but there's not one individual in here. And somewhere at the point of midnight, there is a halting feeling that gets a hold of that man, that when he rounds that corner and he comes around the edge, something gets a hold of him. There's something lurking in that shadow. They may be something out there are reaching for me. I must tell you here tonight that we are living in a church world that has literally lost her fear of a midnight invasion of the coming of Christ. I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time that it cries out of the Word of God, awake all that sleepeth, get out of your sleep. I must tell you, it's in the hour that you and I are awakening unto. We're in greater strength tonight than we've ever been. Don't fall out with me yet. I still believe the church of the living God is the greatest force in all the world. But she is somewhat of an army that has fell asleep in the midnight of her life. Hallelujah. Hear me just a little bit. Midnight is the hour that no man wants to just jump in and say, I'm going to travel the midnight highway. Hang in here just a minute. I've dealt with men in my years of preaching. I've done some street work, and I've dealt with some that were in prison, and I've dealt with others, and I have seen some men that has killed men with their bare hands. I had one man not long ago, had some of the folks here from my church to know about it. One man came to my church. He come up in the middle of an afternoon work. I never met him. He said, I need $500. I felt compelled, as another preacher there with me, I felt compelled of God to dish out $500. He said, have you ever met him? No. That's the first time I ever laid eyes on him. He said, I'm going to jail if I don't have it. He said, but I'm scared. I don't want to go to jail. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We are living in a world of pride. We're living in a world where men don't want to accept the fact that the unknown out there is still scary. I'm here to tell you you can bypass the pleadings of the Holy Ghost and the conviction of God, but there is an eternity that you must face up to, that you must realize, that you must recognize. I'm going to heaven, or else I'm going into hell. Hear me tonight. Bear with me just a minute. There is something bothering my soul, and that is the fact that we realize that the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand, but we don't know how to arouse ourselves out of our sleep. We don't know how to get up. One man said one time, so long to sleep, and so long in deep sleep. Have you ever felt that doze in spirit? You know what's going on, but you just don't have the strength to arouse yourself. Hey, hear me tonight. It is the house of conscience that's a crying out, I should be living better than this. I should have a move of the Holy Ghost, but I ain't got it. There's a midnight cry in my ear. The Lord's coming. I better get ready! Help me here tonight, Holy Ghost. You see, when Jesse James walked up to that church, Brother Carter began to talk to us. We shout out the money. I'll never forget, Brother Lloyd. Jesse told me, he said, I don't want to go to jail. He said, I've just come out of there. I've been in there for 3 weeks. He said, that place is hell on earth. He said, I don't want to go there. He said, I need $500. Hang in here with me just a minute. He backed his car up there, Brother Patty, under the church, popped open the trunk, and he had tools for sale. He had everything he had in his life locked up in the back of that trunk. He said, I'd sell it all just to stay out of jail. I want to tell you something. Old Jesse got on crack one night and so highly intoxicated that before he realized it, he took his bare fist and beat a man to death in the face until he broke his skull and broke his bones in his face, and they were going to put him up for murder if the man died. And he told these words. He said, it's night in my life. And he said, I'm scared. I'm here to tell you we've lost something in our church, and that is the conviction of the Holy Ghost upon our sinners. Mister, if you don't know Jesus, it's midnight in your life, but there is a cry in this midnight. There's a cry in this midnight. You hear me? Hear me tonight. The Bible said, and at midnight, there was a cry made. Such an awkward, such an uneven time for a cry to be made about a wedding. Such an uneven time while men should be asleep and while lives should be closing in for the night. There is a cry that comes ringing down the street. There is a wedding! There is a wedding! It was an old Jewish custom of years gone by, and the night before the wedding took place. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like preaching. And the night before the wedding took place, there were to be festivities in the street, and there would be a cry, a wedding, a wedding. And so evidently, Christ himself, like the perils of our life, as a midnight. But at that midnight, there comes a call. There is a wedding. There is a wedding tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's going to be a wedding. Bear with me just a minute. I blame it not all on this world and what it's done to our people, for the condition or the lack of it, of God in our churches. But oh, do you understand that there is something gone wrong when mama ain't awake as she used to be awake? Come on here. Things that used to once crowd our doors of conviction has now laid inside the living room of our soul, and we feel no harm by it at all. Come on here. Stay with me just a minute. I don't want nobody to fall out with me just yet. But I feel, if I don't know anything else, I feel like I'm summoned by the Holy Ghost to preach this message tonight. There is a midnight that's going to strike your life, and there's going to be a call come. But the importance of it is, it's not just a call, but how am I going to respond when God calls my name? When God says unto me, I'm a calling you, I'm a beckoning you. Hey, mister, you can by step it and go around it if you may, but there's coming an inevitable day you're going to stand before the King. When Rabbi Zachariah, I believe it's it's an old Catholic priest, begin to write the story. Can't pronounce his name right now. My brain's running too fast. Hear me. When he began to write the letter and tell of his deathbed description, his disciples came in to see him. And when they had walked in the door, they began to weep and they began to cry. And they said like this, "Oh, light of Israel, hammer! A hammer of Israel, thy right hand is a pillar unto us. Why must thou weep?" And he wept so bitterly before them. He said, "If I was to stand before a man of flesh and bones, whose life would be here today and gone tomorrow," he said, "it may not bother me. I may be able to bribe him with riches. I may be able to bribe him with words." But he said, "But the one that I'm about to stand in front of, he is the King of Kings. And if he be angry with me, his anger is forever. If he cast me in the prison, he will cast me in the prison forever." I must tell you tonight, if you go to hell, you'll go there forever. You'll go forever. Never an opportunity will ever dock your doors. I'm coming out. While man climbs the greasy walls of hell, while fingers slip from the bias beneath, men scream and howl, "Oh, for the opportunity to be returned unto me. But 1 second in hell, it buys only agony, it buys only pain. What are you preaching this for? I'm here to tell you tonight, it's midnight, and there's a cry being made right here in the midnight." Hear me. Darker. I don't want to dwell on the negative side, but it's darker now than it's ever been. Used to, you could preach to the lost, and saints would weep for their family that were sitting in the building. But now, when we preach to the lost, there's a cry made, and mama no longer weeps for her baby. Buy them. I got after the Holy Ghost to preach. Buy them a new car. Give them a scholarship. Give them whatever you want. But if that cry be snuffled out and no man hears it and no man responds to that cry, there'll be a recorder in eternity that will cry, "I call, but you would not answer. I knock, and you would not open." I called. Preacher, I feel the Spirit in this building tonight. For some of you folks in this building, you have made this camp a light matter to your children. You have made the preaching of the gospel a light matter. I enjoy, don't want nobody to get offended at me, but I enjoy laughing. I enjoy cutting up and having a good time. But it's got your place. But this meeting is a cry in the midnight of their soul. It is a cry, there's a bridegroom coming. And if you don't know him when he gets here, you're going to be left behind. Oh, Brother Michael, 21 years ago, when that preacher preached, "He's coming! He's coming!" And if you ain't been a good soldier in his army, I'll be flat honest with you. If you want to talk about a whole lot of conviction, I wouldn't say there was a whole lot there that night. But there was just something about that message that reached into my heart. It put a call in my ear. It said, "Mister, this is your midnight call. This is your midnight awakening. I want to tell somebody in this building, before you travel your soul any further, before you make another step, before you make another decision, answer the call. Answer the call of God. Repent of your sin and come to Jesus." Sad. The only time that we're disturbed and broken to pieces about men going to hell, it's when they can't respond to the gospel. I got a telephone call one day, and a man called me. He said, "Brother Phillips, there's a young lady. I do not declare to be a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But he called and he said, there's a young lady in the hospital. And they got her own life support. And they want you to come pray for her. She'd live." I went to that hospital to pray for her. I walked in that door. When I walked in that door, I saw the machine. I could read it from the past times that I used to work in the medical field. It showed life on the screen. It showed a heartbeat because of the life support. All of these things, vital signs looked good, but she was just totally out of it. I walked over there, Brother Lord, and I put my hand on her head and I began to pray. And I said, "God, this woman, if she knows you, I know not. But if she don't know you, in just a few short little while, she's going to go to hell without you. If there is any way possible, would you please wake her up while I'm here? And would you let me tell her the gospel story of the blood of Jesus?" Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I want to stop and inject this right here. We wouldn't have to call a preacher in to preach a revival or a camp meeting or anything. If our folks got happy over the blood again, if they got happy over the cross and the crucifixion and the joy of being free from the bondage of sin. I went in there, Brother Michael Carter, and I began to pray. And as I began to pray, the Lord spoke to me. And He said, "She's gone. She's no longer here." I backed up from the bed and I looked at her and I said, "My God, she didn't know you. She's in hell right now." I walked out of there and briefly spoke to the family. Shook their hand and moved on about my business. A couple of days later, I was in the same hospital. A young lady that worked in that unit, she was an RN, happened to be that girl's nurse that night. I'll never forget. I asked her, I said, Will you please tell me one thing? I want to find out if I was right or if I was wrong. I looked at her and I said, that young lady they called me to come pray for, I said, can you tell me if she's dead or if she's alive? The night I went in there to pray for her, she said, Noah, she's been dead. The only thing that's moving is her heart because of electronic shock. It's so sad that the only time we get concerned is when they're in an automobile accident or they're up behind bars. And while I'm in this youth camp, I'm going to narrow it down and preach it just right. Unless they're at some pregnancy center somewhere, and we should have told them, you don't go down that back road by yourself. Come on here. Come on here. Don't fall out with me just yet. I'm not losing my point. But about the only time we want to point them to the cross and unto the blood of Jesus is when their lives are broken in shambles and when their lives are crushed to pieces. But I'm here to tell you tonight, let me extract every elder in this building and let me say this to every young person in this house. Forget about the world. For the Bible said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you want to know Jesus, you can know him tonight. You can know him in the free pardon of sin. You don't have to wait until it's broke and busted. You can come to him while you're whole and have the joy of the Lord. Midnight. And a cry was made. Proverbs said, wisdom, it cries in the street. You watch that street preacher. It is in that way of direction. It's that preacher saying, I don't think you need to do that. Whatever happened to the day when we had so much confidence in the man of God, we didn't think he was just out to dictate us. We didn't think he was out to run our children. You ever heard that spirit? I'm their daddy, and that daddy ain't shouted in the past year. Come on here. Come on here. I'm telling you tonight, or whatever happened to the day when that daddy of that church, that man of God of that church, stood up and said, I felt the Holy Ghost in prayer. You don't need to make that business decision. You need to stay out of it. I'm here to tell you tonight, whatever happened to that day when wisdom cried and men in the street heard it and they declared it was a counsel from God and they stood up and took notice to it and they said, that highway that he's crying against, it's a highway to hell. It's a highway to destruction. I tell you, come here, Brother Lord. It's wisdom. I said, it's wisdom. Wisdom to cry and say, don't go there. You can live without it. You ain't got to have it. I'm here to tell you, I'd answer the call of wisdom tonight. I'd respond unto Jesus and say, here it is. Here's my life. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I feel something in this building. What's happening? It's midnight on the borderline of your decisions. It's midnight. Whether you're going to be in this youth camp again next year or not. It's midnight! But you're wondering, if I make this move, is it going to cost me my soul? I'm going to tell every individual in this building something. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. If you ain't never done nothing in your life, feel a steady scare, I shouldn't. You don't need nobody to say nothing. I preached a meeting for 3 weeks. It was on a one-night schedule, brother. Brother Greg Roberts' church, Brother Kramer. Before I went there, I knelt down in my church. It was just a one-night scheduled meeting. I was going there to pick his wife up and him up and me and my wife. We were heading to the mountains that night after church. I was supposed to pack clothes and take it with us. I knelt over on the corner of my church on the platform, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I love it when He's in control. He knows all about it. I said, God, what do you want me to say? He said, tell him to rip up the contract. Preacher, that's a part of my life you ain't getting in. That's a part of my life you ain't telling my children what to do in. But when that midnight strikes them, I want that preacher to make a midnight cry. Feel the Holy Ghost right here. You going to wait to tell them the man of God's right after they're shot up with heroin? You going to wait till after their life's broken and that young girl's lost her dignity and honor? I'm going to throw this in for good measure. My, I feel the Holy Ghost to do this. I'm not here to question it. You claim to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you can date somebody that ain't saved, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You don't need to ask the preacher if it's right or not. If you got the Holy Ghost, He'll tell you it's wrong. Come on here. It's midnight, and I'm at a crossroads in my life. I don't know which way I'm going to turn. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm caught in the middle of a stream. A decision's got to be made. I went to that meeting. God spoke to my heart before I left. He said, don't pack no clothes. Don't do anything. He said, that meeting will go past this night. I didn't say nothing to my wife. I didn't say nothing to anybody. I left it alone. She said, we ain't taking no clothes. I said, no, we ain't going to take no clothes. I said, we're just going to go preach, and then if we go, we'll just come back. She left it aside. I preached that night on Rip Up the Contract. Got done preaching, went over there and sat down. He got ready to close the service. And I wasn't about to stand up in a man's church and say, I feel like we ought to go on a few more nights. Some of you preachers need to take a lesson in that. So anyways, he turned right around before they began to dismiss. He said, can you be here tomorrow night? And I said, I'll be here. 3 weeks later, we shut the meeting down. Come to find out, just a simple thing, brothers. Just a simple thing. A man was fixing to buy a truck. He said, preacher, you that tight? I don't believe you ought to do anything without the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you got the money to do it. He knows whether 6 months from now you're going to be able to pay for it or not. Come on here. I'm not leaving my subject. Don't forget me just yet. But I tell you right now, that Spirit of God spoke that night. For every night, tear up the contract. Tear it up. Get rid of it. I don't care if you have signed your name and said you can't back out of. There ain't but one place you can't back out of, and that's hell. I'm going to say that again. There's one place you can't get out of, and that's hell. Everything else, God's made loopholes in it for you to get out. I said, God's made loopholes in it for you to come out of it. You say, preacher, I'm tied up in it. I've done made decisions toward it. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can set it in the Word of God. That the King's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it wherever He wants. What God do we know is your response under that call. When will I surrender? When will I break? When will I crumble? And say yes. Say yes. I'm responding to you tonight. Midnight, wisdom's crying in the streets. And she utters her voice. And she says, hear me. She utters her voice. And she says, how long will you simple ones love simplicity? You know what that simple ones mean? It means being deceived or seduced. And before you can be deceived or seduced, you have to know the right way to start with. Did you hear me? How long will you love simplicity? How long will you bystep the man of God that's crying, saying you need to answer God? Well, my girlfriend don't believe like I believe. She's going to burn up and become powder. She's going to burn up and become powder. But that soul's going to live somewhere. Where is it going? My girlfriend don't believe in the Holy Ghost. She's going to burn up and become powder. It's a hard statement, preacher. What you're holding on to is going to melt with a fervent heat. Whether it's her or this world, he's going to burn it up. It's going to go back to which it came from, right out of that ground. But there's one part of you and her that's going to live forever. And it's going to make one choice tonight. Yes or no. At the dying of that rabbi's life, he said, my life is filled with two highways. One leads to heaven and the other leads to hell. And you tell me I should not weep. I should not cry. But while my choice is being made, I'm heading myself to hell. And you tell me I should not weep. I should not cry. When that 82-year-old Pope stands at a convention center for our young people, look right this way. I'm hurrying to a close. He says our young people need to be set free. Our young people need to be loosened. He bent over and can't even hardly speak. When the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. And when they fall in that ditch, they have but one thing to open up and take them. And that's the vices of hell. I'm going to narrow it down one time. Right here. Young man, you can laugh at the holiness movement if you want to. Mock us and mimic when you're playing on the ground. There's going to come a day and you're going to reach your hand out for one of them holiness folks. Hold my hand as I cross that deep ravine of life that I have no Savior going with me. I'm done. Come to the piano. Just one person to the piano tonight. That's all I'm asking for. I read a story one time. Two young boys were out playing. Two young men were out gallivanting around. And they fell over into some kind of high powerful chemical. The other one, just before he fell in, he caught himself. The other one fell in and he grabbed him and yanked him up out of it. He started burning on his clothes and started burning in his skin. And he started screaming and he started howling and he started crying. The other boys grabbed him, picked him up, threw him in the back seat of a car and run to the hospital with him. They got him to the hospital, to make a long story short. They got him to the hospital, and the doctor looked at him after they examined him and worked with him and worked with him, laying there with his clothes deteriorating off him from the acid, exposing his human flesh. Said it began to flash, and little balls of fire started shooting up out of his flesh, started bursting up. He began to scream and he began to cry, and his friend standing there beside him fell over top of him and tried to snuff out every flame that he could. And the young man laying on that cot dying, he said, "My God," he said, "I'm going to hell and I'm burning up before I ever get there." I'm telling you tonight, he didn't go there just by accidentally falling into it. There was a midnight cry somewhere that he heard God say, "Will you come? Will you hear me tonight? Will you come out of that world? Will you separate your life from my work? Will you come unto me and surrender your whole entire life unto my call?" I'm telling you, mister, you ain't got another tomorrow. You ain't got another year. It's the present time that we're dealing with, and God's asking you, what are you going to do with it now? Now. Tonight's a now. I said, tonight's a now. And it's on the first night of this meeting, and I'm feeling such a burden to reach for the lost, and our minds are so scattered, and we're wondering, where in the world is this preacher coming off with? But God told me a week ago, there's a midnight cry. It may be in the middle of the night, Mama, you get the call. Your boy's in an accident. Your girl's caught up in something she don't need to be caught up in. What are you going to do with it? And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Young lady, it ain't whether you got to believe it the way Brother Noah is or not. You got to believe it just like this book. Brother Rod, Brother Lloyd Bailey, Brother Jeff, Brother Jerry, Brother Michael Pettit, you can write this book. It's the Holy Ghost. I sent a letter to you. Said, "You're going to come before him one day. And there's going to be an envelope open. It's going to be the deeds of your life, whether it was a yes or no." Midnight's crying. Midnight's asking, "How long will you wait?" Wisdom's crying in the middle of your dream. Wisdom's crying in the middle of the losing of excitement, saying, "Will you come? Stand with me all over this building." I tell thee this night, saith God, I've longed for thee. I've called thee in many different ways. I've spared thy life from near-thread experiences. I've spared tragedy from coming upon thee. For yea, I say unto thee, I, the Lord God, speak to thee this night. And I say unto thee, I love thee, saith God. That's why I call you this night, saith the Lord. Stand with me. I want the Holy Ghost to have His way in this meeting. I ask nobody to move or go out. This is the most important part of this entire meeting, right here. You hear me tonight? I told it Brother Michael Nichols' meeting when I preached her homecoming last Sunday. Sunday 4 last. Brother Lord, if you don't mind, I'll tell it again. There's a young boy in my church that lived with me and my wife for almost 2 years. Jeremy
Some of my church folks here tonight will know for a fact that I'm telling the truth. The Holy Ghost will fall and give out messages. Youth services beckon him. He dressed good. You looked at him, you thought he's a good boy. He started slipping, listening to contemporary music. What's so wrong with Amazing Grace? Can I say that again? You youth leaders, I don't know who you are. You ain't worth the salt that goes in your bread if you teach them that junk. I wept and I cried for days for Jeremy. The Holy Ghost was sent by preachers to confirm everything I'd say to him. He knew he couldn't have some things in my house. He come from a broke up home. Daddy was a drug addict all his life. When he was a young boy, my dad used to go over there and get him and his mom and little sister. And it'd be 20-something degrees outside or colder. And they'd be wrapped up in a corner. Am I telling it right? It's my sister right there. They'd be wrapped up in a corner in a blanket with no food because of a drug daddy. Jeremy got out of that mess, started living with us. One day he told me and my wife, he said, "I've never had this before. I've never felt this way." He said, "I feel love and I feel home." But something got a hold of Jeremy. He forgot that cry that was calling for him to come out of that world. 3 or 4 weeks before he ever backslid and went out and done evil deeds, I called him in my office, Brother Michael, and I said, "Son, God spoke to my heart and said, you're on that internet and you're in that chat room and you're messing around, son." And I said, "The Holy Ghost has revealed it to me. You can't hide nothing." To make a long story short, I saw him just the other day before I left to come here. He called me on a Saturday. He was fixing him to buy a brand new car. And he said, "I want you to come down here and look and see if they're giving me a good deal." I've not seen him since he backslid and got drunk. He knew he couldn't come around me like that. I wouldn't put up with it. I saw him, his hair was spiked and twisted and turned. He had a wooden necklace on, ring on his middle fingers, rings on his thumb, and a ring going up halfway of his first left finger. He'd look at me and he'd just stand there and he'd drop his head. "Mister, it may be a little lengthy right here, but if you can drop your head in the presence of this preacher or of a man of God preaching to you and feel the weight of your sin, how much more are you going to feel it when you answer him that you would not answer? What are you going to do when he said, 'Midnight has finally come to an end. The wedding's beginning.' What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it?" While they play, and get ready to sing, the Bible said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 13, verse 3, "Consider and hear, O God, my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Wake me up to that call." You know what I'm battling right now? I'm going to just open it up. I'm battling just what every other preacher battles right here at an altar. The struggle between you wanting to leave and the struggle of heaven calling you to come. Man, if he'll just quit preaching long enough, We can get outside and shoot the ball a little bit before it gets too dark. But what's your tomorrow going to be like? Where are you going when you leave this world? I believe I can stand on the side of Brother Lord in this fellowship and this church. We didn't come here for you to play ball. We didn't even come here for you to play games in the afternoon. They were just all sides. We come here for you to get a call from heaven and ask you, what are you going to do about it? Visitor, you say, I'm not from here. I'm just here for the night service. The same call's reaching out to you. What are you going to do about it, Daddy? What are you going to do about it, young man? What are you going to do about it, Mama, young girl? I'm going to answer that call while every head's bowed and every eye closed. Where will I spend eternity? Where will I spend that long, dark eternity?
Bless me not, oh gentle Savior.
See, when it gets tight right here, don't scare me. Because that's what that enemy wants to do. But I'm here to tell you tonight, above it all, there's a call of God still calling you. You ought to scream out tonight, don't pass me by, God. Don't pass me by. I'm opening this altar for that sinner. That sinner man, that sinner boy, that girl. If you don't know Jesus, come to this altar. We beckon you to come. We plead with you to make this response to this gospel. Come to Jesus. You're here tonight. He said, preacher, there's some decisions. I'm telling you, I know I'm right here. There's some decisions in my life I'm about to make. It's going to determine my destiny in life. I'm scared to make them without the Holy Ghost. I want God to help me. Won't you step out of that pew? Come out of that choir loft. Come out of that pew, young folk. It may be a daddy. It may be a mama. It may be somebody in this building that's saying, hey, I think the worst thing in the world that can happen to this meeting tonight is for you to stand there and address it just for the youth. God's talking to every individual in this building. Sure, we're having it for our children and our teenagers. But that gospel's a wise span. It's a beckoning you to come. There's young folks in this building, you should have already made your move. You say, preacher, I tell you right now, I'm going to make this decision by myself. I'll just wait and let it see where it falls. Wait. Keep awaiting. Sooner or later, the devil will work it out to where he can deceive your soul. I'm going to open it one more time. If honesty's on your policy, you'll respond to that call. There's things I need an answer on. There's some decisions in my life that will determine whether I answer a call or not. I want you to come to this altar right here. Step out there right now by yourself. Who's going to be the first one? Or some of you in this building, you claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you ain't had a move of God in your life in weeks and months. I don't understand how come you can stand there and say, God, what's wrong with me? I ain't had the Holy Ghost shake me in weeks. He ain't spoke to me in months. And your point of standing there tells God, I'm satisfied where I'm at. I'm satisfied where I'm at. You may come
this year looking for it to be like last year. But honey, it's a whole different ballgame with God. God's got a different plan on the agenda. He's begging you tonight to come to Him. There's some battles and there's some scars in your life that from last year to now, you didn't expect to get them, but you got them tonight. You got them tonight.